Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm waiting for Heather and Mark to call in because everybody's traveling. So welcome to our show. This is October 22nd. What we do here on the show is we talk a little bit about the astrology in the heavens, what it feels like, how you can use it to work with your life and make it a little more productive or healthy or happy, whatever you're trying to create. And we like to share our love of astrology with you and how delightful it is to be able to connect and communicate and really, you know, see astrology and understand its greater purpose in the world. And so what we do is we kind of catch you up on where the planets are in the heavens, and then we take calls from listeners. And so as I'm waiting for Heather and Mark to call in, it looks like Mark just did call in, so we'll try picking him up. Hi, Mark, you there?
Hi, Ann. Yes, I'm
Hi,
here.
Yay, okay, cool. Mark's here, and Heather is coming back from England, so she should be calling in too, assuming she's not too jet-lagged. So, hi, how are you? Introduce yourself to the
Good.
Audience.
Yes, Mark Waltz, New York City. Same town as Ann, the other side.
Same town as Ann. Different side of town, though, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so I did an intro, and Heather is traveling back from England, so hopefully she'll be joining us too. And I'll keep an eye out for her phone number to appear in the caller line. So what we do is we talk about the weather, and this week we have a couple of interesting things happen at 8 o'clock tonight, 8:15 tonight, Sun went into Scorpio. And I was busy doing things, so I didn't get a chance to check the debates. But we have 30 days now of Sun in Scorpio, intense energy, about transformation, change, and silence. It's got a big silent component. So what did you notice about the week ahead, Mark? What's your favorite part of it?
Let's see. Mainly the switch into Scorpio. I always like that when it goes along with the sense of the darkness increasing and the daylight shrinking. So every year it's really, you know, it's a fairly steady change from the equinox, the waning of the daylight to the solstice. But it's when the sun goes into Scorpio that it feels like it really means business, you know, sort of gradual the rest of the way through Libra. But then when you switch into Scorpio, it seems really dark. And then, you know, we make a switch with daylight saving, drop that and go back to standard time, and it messes with that whole sense of darkness at the end of the daylight day.
Mm-hmm.
It shifts. It seems, you know, suddenly it's getting dark before you're headed home from school, mm-hmm. you know.
It always feels right? Very magical. It's like, wow, it's dark outside.
Yeah,
I think
that's the sense of Scorpio, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, sense of ending in darkness and,
yeah.
you know, the world, you know, when the sky is dark, it always feels like it kind of closes in on you. I know
yeah.
I always love lightning storms because when the lightning hits, you're like, oh, it's still blue. I always think it turns color, you know, after the sun goes away. But it's still blue when lightning lights it up. But really the absence of light, so much a part of Scorpio's energy. So this week he starts a 30-day journey, and of course he's going to come to join the sun this week and link up with Saturn, which went into Scorpio a couple of weeks ago, and officially inaugurate the Saturn and Scorpio journey with the ego's purpose, because we've had Mars inaugurate it with, okay, this is what you're going to be doing, and we've had Mercury playing around in Scorpio talking to us about different things. And now the sun is going to come and wake up Saturn. And it finishes a cycle, too, because he's in the closing phase. So he's finishing up the last bits of Libra and that Saturn and Libra journey. And then when he joins with the ego with Saturn on Thursday, he joins with Saturn bright and early Thursday morning on the 25th. It kind of reminds us that, oh, wow, it really is. It really is the end. It's the new cycle here. So, the other thing I noticed this week is that Venus and Mercury are really waltzing with each other. They're kind of back and forth and chatting and singing and talking and playing, really. And Venus and Mercury, rather, if I said Mars, I meant Mercury. Venus and Mercury are really usually pretty good buddies because they are near each other in the solar system, and they kind of zip around the sun. And so they've been waltzing with each other really for the last couple of weeks because they're kind of the same degree, Mercury in Scorpio and Venus in Virgo. And Venus, of course, and Mercury both change signs this week. Well, Mercury actually changes on Monday, next Monday, but Venus changes on Friday, on Sunday, into the new energy. So Venus is going into Libra, where she's going to be much more partnership-based and communication-based, and Mercury is going into Sagittarius, where he's going to be more chatty, talky, and communicative. So it's a very interesting shift for the two of them. They're still going to be talking to each other, but instead of being in earth and water, where they're very about creating something or figuring something out or holding the feelings and transforming, now they're going to be in air and fire. So they have a great deal of energy around communication ideas and the vision of things and the process of things. So when you see those two talking together, what do you come up with, Mark? What do you see?
Venus
the
and
Mercury.
Mercury
and the Venus. Yeah, Mercury and Venus.
Yeah. Well, it feels right. You know, there's the sense that communications and socializing and blending and, you know, getting along with people should happen together. They should be compatible. And, you know, that's why they never square. Like,
right.
It would be very worrisome if Venus and Mercury were to square, because for one thing, it would mean that our whole solar system is messed up.
Gone to hell in a handbasket, right?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, how did that happen?
Right.
But also, you know, even within ourselves, to have that sense of how I get along with other people and how I communicate are at odds.
Yeah.
You know, that they're not getting along. It just doesn't make sense. So when the, you know, when they're in signs that are compatible, in some sense, you know, then it feels natural. It feels right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they do have a simpatico with each other right now because they're basically at the same degrees, and they're kind of going, oh, you know, they're like walking down the street chatting. You know, it's a very shared energy, but because the energies are earth and water, it's a shared energy with a difference, as opposed to like if they're right next to each other traveling together, which they do sometimes. Because this is kind of like that, you know, they're working with each other, but they're across the room or they're across the street. So there's an energy of connection, but an energy of still being very different. And I think with Mercury's in Scorpio, he's got a whole focus on, you know, figuring out secrets and digging around and stuff and trying to figure out, well, okay, what actually is really going on? You know, he's got that secretive component to him, as opposed to Venus when she's in Virgo. She's really very task-oriented and trying to get things accomplished and finished. And even though we finished the growing season, I think because Saturn was in Libra for 3 years, Venus just seems to have a lot of extra work to do to get herself organized for Saturn going into Scorpio. It's kind of like you're moving houses instead of just moving signs because the energies are so different. And so she's just been really working her little butt off and kind of running around in the heavens trying to get things accomplished when, in fact, you know there's just much work to be done. So I think that whole component of her getting to have a rest when she gets to this weekend and she gets into Libra where she actually gets to kick back and sit down and, you know, that moment after you have a party when everybody leaves, before you sit and do the dishes, where you sit down and you talk about it, you know, and kind of remember what happened, that's kind of what she's going to be doing this weekend, you know, kind of going, ah, yeah, remember what happened, you know, that kind of memory lane before she gets up and has to start cleaning up the mess. So, and of course, if you can hire it out, you know, you have a caterer doing the party, you know, they'll be sitting having cocktails while the caterer is cleaning, but for me at least, it's usually me doing the dishes. So that part, though, when right before you start doing them, when you're kind of remembering the party and getting ready for it, is always fun. So I think that energy is kind of prominent this week, too. So when you're did you notice the Mars-Jupiter opposition? I mean, I was looking at that because it's kind of strong this week, too. That perfects on Sunday, which is kind of the argument that's people, some people have been having with other people, and it finishes. And what did you think about that one? Because it's the Gemini Sagittarius axis, which is always excitable.
It can be kind of a conflict aspect, although I usually see it as overdoing. You know, trying to do too much, overdoing, getting partway through some very energetic task, and then realizing, oh, I took on too much. You know, it's like setting out to do a 12-mile hike when really you really would have been content with 8 miles.
Mm-hmm. And now you're on that 11th mile, and you're going, "What was I thinking?"
Yeah, exactly. It's mm-hmm. like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I could have taken the shorter loop. It would be just as pretty.
And I wouldn't be so tired.
Yeah, but it's often that kind of thing. We take on too big a task or more of a task than we needed to. And we felt we had more energy or a different kind of energy that than we really turn out to have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we need to watch out for. Going into that, you know, be careful what you sign up for going into the Jupiter opposite Mars.
Kind of an overdoing, yeah.
Yeah.
And a sense that, you know, you have to get it all done, and there really isn't enough time to get it all done, you know.
Right.
So that piece can also feel a little hard or a little harsh.
Yeah, and so you have to allow yourself to not quite meet that expectation. Which mm-hmm. was probably your own expectation anyway.
Right. That you kind of put on yourself and perhaps maybe overcommitted. Can, you know, now you want to under-deliver or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Or
and
if I
let
do
that
this.
Be okay.
Yeah. And I think we often find that piece of the energy is really, and sometimes it's tied to a hard place too, because the opposition, and they're in each other's, you know, Mars is in Jupiter's sign. Jupiter, I guess, doesn't really care about Gemini, but that when they're arguing, there's a sense with Jupiter and Gemini, he gets very frustrated because there's just so much stuff he has to keep track of, and he's kind of a big picture guy. I always imagine him as this executive going, next, I already know that slide, next.
Right.
You know, the person trying to make the presentation, you know, it's getting thrown them off their game because, did you read that? Are you sure you know what I'm talking about? You're jumping to conclusions, you know. I know what you're talking about. Next. And that kind of impatient sound with Jupiter in Gemini. So I find it's people tend to get a little frustrated or flustered, maybe is a better word, with it, because the world's kind of going, next. And they're kind of going, did you hear me? You know, so. But, I don't know.
Yeah, so we have that coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that's on Sunday. So, and then there's a full moon on Monday, which we'll talk about next Monday because that's at 3:49 in the afternoon. But I think the shift of the sun, and the sun also, because he's in early water, is going to be setting off. There's a grand water trine in the sky between Ceres, and Neptune and Saturn. And so as the sun rolls through that, he's going to set off each leg of it because he's going to aspect this week each planet in that grand trine and really push them all to move forward, kind of like, you know, like a little wave coming through, you know, awaken the boat. Sun's coming through, illuminating, and waking up all those planets, and everybody goes, oh, wait, what did I see? So it's always fun to have the sun roll through. So I guess I'll give out our caller number. We do have some callers on the line already,
okay.
So. We'll take some calls and answer questions if we can. 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And I don't see Heather yet online, so we will pick a caller and go. Is there anything else you want to say about the week, Mark, that you noticed?
No, I think we touched what we need to watch for.
Yeah, it's kind of a quiet week, you know. They're also with the Orionids meteor shower, which if you live in a place in the world where you can see that, we can't really see it here in New York, but it's out there, so that's always cool. All right, so we'll take some callers, and if you've called in recently, we're going to ask, you know, for new callers, not that we don't love the old callers, but try and get some new voices in here. All right, hello, 111. Are you a Skype caller? You're on the air. Can
hello?
You hear me?
Me?
Ah, you're on the air.
Me?
Yep, you.
You.
Oh, good. Oh,
hello.
My God, I couldn't tell. Okay, so should I give you my birth information?
Sure.
And do you have a question?
Yeah, that the last 2 years of my life have been so bad, and I don't understand. And every astrologer said I was destined for major success. I'm like, where is it?
Where is it?
Oh.
Okay.
So
cool. What's your birth stuff?
4/22/59.
4/22/1959. Okay, time?
11:56 a.m., New York, New York.
New York. Okay, New York. All right, so the question is, where is your major success, or why has the last 2 weeks, years been so hard, or what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like, come on already.
Come on, leave me alone, please.
Come on,
alone.
Just give me the success that I'm supposed to have.
Okay, right. All right.
I can't believe I'm on the phone with you. I'm like a little shocked because I've tried so many times and you never get to me. There's like
well,
minutes
you know,
left
we're trying to
like,
take
oh,
new numbers that I don't recognize. So
well,
that's
here
how we
am
got
I.
You.
Here I am.
Here right. You are. You made it through. Yay!
See, that's a little. That's the start of your success, right there.
Yeah, right. I
yeah.
love him. He's great.
There you go.
More to come.
That was good.
More
thanks.
Come.
Thanks. Yeah.
Now you're in. You can expect to go buy a lottery ticket tomorrow because this is the beginning of the change.
Well, it's my half birthday this week. Do you believe in that?
You have what?
Yeah,
half birthday?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, half birthdays totally. Yeah.
That's this Thursday, so maybe.
Okay, so that's good. Yeah, so that'll help. We'll take that too. Okay, so where do they see the major success? So there's a couple
why
of places.
Why you don't see it?
No,
oh God!
No, I'm just.
You're
I'm
like,
just
where
looking.
Did they see this? I don't see it. Oh God!
No, I'm like you. The way you said it, I see major success. So I'm like, okay, where are we seeing major success? Where is that coming from?
Yeah.
I think that's probably the you know the sun high and the Uranus angular. There's a lot of energy around really being a creative person,
oh.
And of course early Taurus. But lately, you know, you've really been redefining what your definition of success is, too, with Saturn going through your third house, asking you to say, well, what is success for you? Leo rising's very creative, Pluto in the second house. That can either be really, really fabulous, really, really bad. It kind of has these huge swings, but it can make decent money.
I thought I had
Pluto
in the first house. Pluto in the first house.
Yeah, but right on the edge of the second. He's like, right, you know, I do tropical.
Oh, so
and
you
so
think
he's
going into the second already? Really?
Well, he's
they always
right at the edge.
Pluto
I like
Uranus
like 5 degrees on either side, just
oh,
because
really?
The
that's interesting.
Yeah, well,
first I
want to
say that before we go
is,
further,
huh?
I want to say how brilliant you are, and that I so love listening to your podcast every week. And
oh,
you're
good.
I think you're one of the most amazing astrologers ever. And I've been studying astrology for 20 years. I've had my chart done, you know, by some pretty famous astrologers. But
oh,
you're really amazing, like amazing. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Well, I love. I love astrology.
I know
like,
you're
how can
just
we make it?
You're just amazing.
Oh,
amazing.
Thanks.
Such a deep level. All right, so go ahead. So
all
where
right,
is
so
it?
So forward
about
we
you?
Go. So we got the sun trine Pluto, right? Which is
right.
You know I have an enormous drive, and we have the sun rising with Uranus angular, which gives a ability to break through and be seen, and planets high, you know, often bring success. The question with Saturn ruling the third in a grand trine in Earth. That often shows as physical success, too. And you've lately been having Pluto on your Saturn, which is really not a fun transit.
Yeah, no kidding. It's
yeah,
fantastic.
That's kind of a crappy
right
transit.
Now, Pluto's on my Saturn, and the Sun is opposing Saturn. Or Saturn's
right.
Opposing
and
Saturn.
Also, you know, Saturn's on your Neptune. So it's shifting your dream.
It's disgusting. And I just had, of course, I had for months and months, that moon.
Yes.
Saturn on my moon at 24
Saturn
degrees.
On your moon. Yeah.
How disgusting
for a whole year.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is hard.
So you feeling a little bad for me? Can I have a little sympathy from Manny Orderly?
Well, the moon rules your 12th house, so you were clearing out karma.
Yeah. Okay,
so whatever
great.
You cleared out, whatever, however you changed your thoughts over the last chunk of time,
I'm
last
trying.
Year or so,
yeah.
Really is actually very helpful to moving you forward.
Okay.
And if we go towards, you know, that your chart is to move you in a new direction, the grand trine in Earth is often really productive. So it's got a lot of opportunity. in it. So I'm looking and saying, well, yeah, and you also have partial fingers of God. Well, you actually have a full one there. So fingers of God often give us stuff. But the Mars opposite the Saturn can act a little bit as a delayer or help delay. But it also is, what's the dream? You know, because Neptune changing signs opposite the Sun says there's a big dream you're working on. And right now Neptune's talking to Pluto by transit, which is going to help that dream come true.
Really?
Or ground better, because the chart
really
needs to figure out how to ground it.
Yeah.
So what are you trying to create?
Well, I'm a creative genius, just to let you know,
mm-hmm.
since you don't know me. And my things at one point were selling all over the world. I'm a designer. My actual name is a legal trademark. And at one point, I mean, I was everywhere. And then I had bad backers. I mean, I've just been through hell in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started working for other people, making them millions. And everybody said you were born to be on television because my personality is really good. And, you know, my stuff is very saleable. So then now I'm getting close to selling on television.
Mm-hmm.
But it took forever too. It feels like in my life, every time I go through a brick wall, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe that. That is another one.
Right. Well, yeah.
And that's so not fair. I just went through a brick wall, and that was hard enough to break down. So
right.
It's very, and there's just always, like, bad things, like, around. And, you know, and the garment center is the most horrible people on earth anyway. So, you know, it's a struggle. And then I was married when I was really young, and I'm, like, dying for number two. And I don't know. I meet a guy, and then it's like, he's not calling me. What the hell? Or then he'll call me, then he won't call me. It's like, hello, God. What do you want from me over here? Why'd you give me so much?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I designed so many different things, the most gorgeous
right.
clothes and coats. And I even invented a toy that I gave to somebody big at a toy company last week. I mean, and I'm like, okay, can one of these things hit already?
Yeah.
So my question is, are they? When will they? What do you think?
Right.
You will feel some movement with Saturn off of the moon now. Saturn conjunct moon is really a tough period.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You feel very, very much alone. Nobody
yeah.
knows how you feel. And even if they try, they don't get it,
uh-huh.
according to you.
Right.
And especially the more they try, the more sympathetic they try to be, the worse they botch it up the way you feel. It's, you know, with Saturn conjunct moon, we just feel like we're in the cave and nobody's going to come in looking for us.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, that,
okay.
You know, that's it.
So now but, I'm out of the cave and now
yeah.
and now it's in Scorpio, exactly opposite my sun. But that's only for
yeah.
a few days, right? Or weeks.
Yeah.
Or something.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
then what?
Well, no, actually, the Saturn opposite Sun, that you're going to feel that for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
right.
But once Saturn moves beyond the very beginning of Scorpio, then it's off of the Sun.
So how long is that? Like when?
Well, let's see.
Because it's already at 2 degrees, and I'm 1 degree.
Right.
Yeah,
I like a 2 to 3 degree separation.
Really?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
what
am I? I mean, I don't know. Mark, what do you use?
Two degrees about with
two
Saturn.
Degrees, yeah.
But, Anne, when does that, do we get a retrograde back to zero again?
No, he goes back to 4:49, so he's going to go over
okay.
your
thank
Neptune.
You.
Yeah.
Thank
no,
you,
he's
my
not,
darlings. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, he's not
it's
coming back to your
then.
Neptune.
It's
yes, that Saturn hates me. Saturn hates me.
No,
no
Saturn's
like
in your
that.
Fifth house. He's why you're creative.
Right.
He doesn't hate you. He rules your work. And he rules
I thought that's
your
why
yeah.
I don't have romance, and I'm always delayed romance. It's always a problem because Saturn's in the fifth house, no?
Right, that
well,
would be
well,
true. But
Saturn is
he wants you to be working instead of having romances. He
or
wants
only
you to be,
serious,
exactly.
which is true. I was never asleep around her, so, but, like,
right.
we have another
right.
series. So do you think I'm ever going to, like, have love again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Look at both of you.
Yeah,
it's a rule of two. Go ahead.
Well, if Heather was here, she'd vote for 3-2.
Really?
Yeah.
But you really
there
think
would be
I'm
three of us
romance.
Agreeing you're going to have love.
Really?
Yeah, Uranus, your progressed Uranus just got into your first house, right? So that's something because Uranus rules your seventh. And you're also about to have a progressed new moon return. And the progressed moon comes to your north node in about 7 months. That's and then it comes to your partnership planet in about 8 months, 9 months, I would say, you know, a serious relationship between 5 and 9 months from now when the moon hits the north node on Juno. This could be a really serious partner. And if you think back to 83, 84, you would have been putting down roots back then for your life, and now you're doing the same thing again. You're starting a new rooting period.
So I'm having love, and you think that I'm actually going to be successful.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you have been successful. It's, you know, the chart has a grand trine in Earth, so grand trine in Earth people are successful. The thing is, with the Pluto in the second, it has swings. It has ups and downs. It's not
so
a clean.
It's funny that you're the first astrologer ever that said it's in the second. They're always like, you have Pluto in the first. You're so intense when people meet you. And I was like, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, but Pluto is tucked way down there by your second house cusp. Your second house cusp is 3, and your Pluto, I think of anything within like 3 to 5 degrees is working for the sign. And Pluto's in Virgo, so he's sitting right on the edge of the third house.
Huh.
In Virgo's house. So he's kind of pushing, trying to get in the door there to the second house.
So it's like birth
and death,
money. That
also gives him swings. And the grand trine in Earth is very much about physical manifestation. But Pluto now has gone direct by progression, which is going to change his vision of what success is.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, this chart can definitely make, you know, do very well. But it will have ups and downs because of that. You also have the Sun Neptune, so you create it and then it dissolves. You created
yeah,
an result.
Sun Neptune, and also with Sun Neptune, it's very hard for you to know what success is.
Right.
How to define it. Your sense of it will be a
lot
more.
Well, money in the
bank
would be nice, not owing everybody.
That would be nice.
I mean, the last 2 years, literally, I felt like I would say to the universe, are you kidding me? Like, what is the block against people giving me money? I mean, and while I was trying to create all this and go back to my own business and try to do this, then I was still trying to go on interviews and nothing, just nobody. When I knew I'm the most talented person they saw, and they would say that, but then they didn't call me.
Right.
Well, the Saturn through the third house is about you really looking and saying, well, what is it I truly want? And who do I want to actually partner with? Do I want to partner with people or do I want to work by myself?
No, I want to partner with people.
Right.
But then where are they?
Like, well, you wanted to partner with them, but it's also
defining
what your definition of partnership is. Right?
What is the definition of partnership? Yeah,
that's part of what you're working on.
That's a big question.
Well, money.
Mm-hmm.
Silent partner, money.
Yeah.
Well, money is not a partnership, right?
Not really.
Well, why? They have silent partners. People invest in you, but you run the show.
Yes,
no?
but for them to invest in you, they have to own part of you.
Right.
You've got all those planets in the seventh house, or no planets in the seventh, and Uranus rules it. So your chart really doesn't want to be owned.
Right.
You get a little anxious when they try and own you. And with Mars opposite the Saturn, you can get a little... I don't want to say self-destructive because that's the wrong word, but you can do things that make them go, well, if I invest in you, are you gonna do what I want you to do? Because they're giving you the money. There's a cost for the money.
Right.
I do think with Jupiter coming to your Sun midheaven this spring, you know, you're starting a new 12-year cycle around money from your career, so that'll be helpful.
Yeah,
and
like
Saturn
when Jupiter was in Taurus, it
83.
Did nothing for me.
Pardon?
When Jupiter was in Taurus, it did absolutely nothing for me.
Right, because Taurus doesn't... Why? Because Taurus isn't one of your... that's your 10th house, so that's going to get you recognition, but not necessarily money. Because the 10th house is being recognized, the 11th house is money from your career.
Look at you.
So the second house of money.
And
you know,
what about Jupiter
house,
and Gemini?
The 11th house, huh?
And Jupiter and Gemini, I have Venus and Gemini, so Jupiter's on my Venus? I mean...
Well, yeah, it's going to station on your Venus. Gone over it a couple times. But it's also your progressed midheaven now. It's 23 Gemini. So, but Jupiter in Taurus is you get recognized, but you don't necessarily get anything for it.
And now you think that's the money's coming.
Well, as it goes through that 11th house, that brings in money. Plus, you've got Saturn going into the 4th, which is starting a new foundation for your life. So that all's shifting and changing.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing they said, that the last 14 years everything was going down, and now it's this week, it's at the bottom, and now I'm about to start going up.
Yes, that would be
the
case.
That would make sense, yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yep, totally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
the British lady spoke. She just said 10 seconds, so we're actually out of time.
Oh.
So, and she cuts us off these days, Mark. So this is Ann Ortley.
Okay.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Say so long.
Okay.
Good luck with it.
And Mark
Here we
Thanks
are, the Axis Astrology. Off we go. And Mark?
All right. Good. Mark Wolf. and we'll talk to you next week. Okay.
Right, and we'll be at Excess Astrology tomorrow at 6:15 instead of 6:30. So hope to see you then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.